Ask for your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless his word to us. Break the bread of life to our souls. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. That covers a lot. We could cover a lot in what the Lord has done for us. He's still the storm, how'd that song say? Calm my fears and stilled the storms. He dried my tears, and the Lord's still the same today. I'm thankful that the Lord is a very present help in our time of need, our time of trouble. I'm thankful that He's not just a far off God. I'm thankful that He wasn't content to just stay in heaven, for there to be a distance between us, as Job said, that I would that there were a daysman between us, that somebody that could span both, that could draw a bridge between the long and the vast gulf that there was between earth and heaven. I'm thankful that there was a way and a plan that He created to be able to bridge that gap, to be able to bring us back and reconcile us. Brother John mentioned in his prayer the message that the angels gave: peace on earth, goodwill towards men. A lot of people have talked about peace. A lot of people have had ideas of peace. Thank you. Have had ideas of bringing world peace and regional peace and bringing, brokering agreements between nations to bring peace. But it's really fallen far short of what the Lord has been able to do. It was more than words. It was more than just an idea, but He came and He gave heaven's best to bring peace to us. I'd like to begin with the first chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Whenever Zacharias, we know the story of the angel appearing unto him, and his doubting of the angel and being struck dumb so that he couldn't speak through the remainder of John the Baptist's time in the womb until he was born and indicated what the name of John the Baptist was to be. And after that time, his tongue was loosed and he spake and praised God. Verse 64. Skipping down to the 67th verse, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised unto our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant us, unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. I think the words that Zacharias spoke are so beautiful, and they speak so much in the prophecy, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he spake under the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the words that he spoke. And it witnessed to the work that Jesus was coming to do, the fulfillment of prophecy, the author and the finisher of our faith that was coming to write the rest of the story that had been prophesied and of and spoken of and looked forward to, as you read in the book of Hebrews, of those that having not received the promise, yet looked for the promise, and because of Abraham's belief and his faith, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But they were looking forward to something. They were looking forward to this day that they never in their lifetime were able to see. Of all the times and the generations and the ages and years that had passed by, that they had looked, that they had longed for our Redeemer, our King, the one that will be the fulfillment of all our the prophecies unto us as a special people of God. Thought that I have that the Lord has given me. this week is terrified by nothing. And I'd like to bring in with that, where that scripture is found, book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 28, 27 beginning. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of God, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. His prayer and his desire for the people of God was that we be able to be a victorious people, that we not be and live in a state of defeat. The song number 200 says, do you triumph, O my brother, over all this world below? Are you reigning in this world? Are you reigning in this life? Because that's what this salvation was all about. That we don't have to, as Zacharias prophesied of, that we might be able to serve him without fear. That we might be able to be delivered from the hand of all our enemies, of all of those that would like to see our destruction. We know that the Jews were looking, many of them, for someone that would bring deliverance from Rome, from the enemy of Rome and from the oppression of Rome. But the Lord's interest, of course, was far deeper than that. To give deliverance from the hand of a spiritual enemy, of one that was intent on destroying them spiritually. That they were able to find deliverance from the wicked one. Might be able to serve the Lord without fear all the days of our life. I'm thankful the Lord's made a way to do that. There is an enemy. There is a wicked one. We face a very dark world. We're surrounded by many unbelieving and false spirits and powers of darkness that surround us all about. So many ways that the enemy would try to attack every one of us. And the song says, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. I don't think that's just hyperbole or just exaggeration. I believe if we were able to see, our spiritual eyes being open of all the spirits that have been unleashed in this world, surely we need the hand of the Lord to surround and protect us, to give deliverance to us. There are many that live in fear. There are many that live in, remember what the Israelites did in Egypt? They were under the bondage of fear and of death. They were held under the bondage of oppression. But there came one that brought deliverance to them. There, they celebrated the Passover that now we recognize as being our Passover, Jesus Christ. The one that came and gave deliverance from the hand and the oppression of the enemy. We might be able to serve him without fear. So this says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You know, it's just what the enemy likes to do. The enemy is the first born terrorist, or the first terrorist. He is the origin of terror. He rules by terror. He rules by oppression. The enemy would like to hold every one of us in oppression. The enemy would like to use fear and hold fear over every one of us. The scripture says here, though, of all the things that Paul faced and of the things that he was trying to prepare Timothy for, you read in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, as Paul was soon to be passing off the scene and talking to Timothy, who he knew was coming along behind him, he said, the Lord, and he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. that we don't have to be held under the oppression of fear? Does that mean that we live on a level that I never feel what the emotion of fear is? I don't believe that's where we necessarily are to live. But I believe that we are not to be held under the oppression and bondage of fear. 1 John 4 and 18 says, fear hath torment. There's torment in fear. There's torment and fear that the enemy would bring of tomorrow. There's a song that came to mind that says, I'm free. For so long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened, my love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackle for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free. Free from, it says, the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the dread of tomorrow. I'm free from the uncertainty, the fear of the uncertainty of what tomorrow holds. I'm delivered from it. I'm set free from the oppression of fear. Yes, I may know what fear feels like. I may feel fear. I may understand fear. But I don't have to live under the cloud and the oppression of fear. There's deliverance from that, that we might be able to serve the Lord in fear. The enemy comes along sometimes as a roaring lion. What does a roaring lion seek to do? He seeks to terrify. He seeks to terrify the prey. Those, the rabbits or the deer or gazelle or whatever else might be in the vicinity. By the roar of a lion, I understand, it sends terror through them so that they don't know what to do. Many times they just scatter or run in fear, or they're paralyzed by fear. You know, in the face of an enemy that's like a roaring lion, we can have boldness. We can have confidence and assurance right in the face of the wicked one, not in ourselves, but because of the one that was prophesied of by Zacharias, that came that we might be able to serve him without fear, without terror. Paul said here, in nothing, terrified by your adversaries. That's an evident token of perdition. You're not held by terror of the enemy and the things that he would bring our way. Yes, we're to walk in the fear of the Lord and an awareness of the dangers that we face. But I don't have to be controlled by terror. He has not given us the spirit of fear, to be held under or controlled by fear. Terrorists work by bringing terror, quite simply. They work by bringing a terror of, it could be me. It could be now. It could be when I walk into this mall and, well, there was a mall that was just bombed or an airport that was just bombed. And now when I go into an airport, I feel uncertainty and I feel uneasiness, and it puts everybody on edge by terror. The reign of terror we are not in subjection to. The terror of the enemy. We talked a little bit a week or two ago about the name of our Father and how the Lord put His name on the children of Israel. You remember what it did unto the Canaanites? Whenever the Canaanites heard of the report of the children of Israel. They heard of what the Israelites were able to do. We talked about how the Lord had given victories to the Israelites, and it was because of that that the Canaanites were in fear, that they trembled before the children of Israel. God put the fear into the people, into the enemy. He is the one that gave deliverance unto them. And again, it wasn't because of who the Israelites were. It wasn't because of how mighty and great they are, nor will it be with us today. Our confidence and boldness to stand in the face of the enemy, in the face of a hostile world, will not be because of our own strength. But if God be for us, who can be against us? If we have a picture of who our God is and that He's reigning within us. Remember the man that thought he would try what he had seen the apostles doing? Casting out spirits? And the Spirit answered him, said, "Jesus Christ I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And jumped on him and pounced on him, and he had no might to be able to withstand. Had no strength within himself to be able. Words weren't enough. A profession wasn't enough to be able to stand against the power of the enemy, against the power of darkness. It overran him. The flood is nothing. We are nothing of ourselves to be able to stand against the tsunami wave of immorality and corruption and darkness that's sweeping so many people and so many structures, so to speak, just sweeping it over and overtaking so many. We're nothing to stand up against that of ourselves. But if we have that power within us, we don't have to be held in the bondage of fear. We can have a boldness and a confidence because He lives. Because if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? I'd like to look at a scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Through a fear of death, through a fear of what death meant and the sting of death, He held them in bondage and in captivity, but He came to set free from that bondage of fear. Because of the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Well, what does 1 Corinthians 15 say? "O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. The power of the grave is sin. And that is the sting and the power that it has, that it holds over individuals, and the uncertainty and the terror. I don't think many people are really able. They're either under such darkness and deception, or so many times today, they're so drugged when they get up to the end of their life that they're not able to even fully think and comprehend what they're facing. The terror and the fear of death, the uncertainty of death, living under the cloud of that. Folks, I'm so thankful that we serve one that came to take away the fear of death. He came to take away the bondage of it. Yes, the flesh will always try to recoil against death. We'll always try to recoil against the unknown of what we've never faced before like that. But you know, the Lord has taken away the sting of it. The Lord has taken away the bondage of that fear that would grip us. And so the Lord calls us to trust Him. The Lord calls us to love Him, to follow Him. You know, one way to disarm the enemy? We see in this verse that the enemy's tool is fear. The enemy's weapon that he works through is terror and fear of death. You know, he tries to work on so many, on all of us. But folks, in this day and time, when it comes to trusting the Lord, you know, the enemy is attacking our faith. He's attacking our trust. May the Lord help us to be in a place that I can say as Paul did, whether I live or whether I die, one is Christ and the other is gain. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm not held in the bondage of fear. I've talked with those that were, understandably, they were facing difficult places or diseases or cancer and the fear that they were facing and that they were dealing with, and the enemy was fighting them and working with them, trying to help them to be able to work through that and realize and see that death is not to be feared. Death is not our worst enemy. Death is not that thing that we are to fight with every last thing that we have. We can commit it to the Lord. We can give it into His hands, and I don't have to be held under the bondage of fear. Fear is debilitating. Fear is, it's like a mind-numbing drug. It's something that alters the way that we think. Under fear, they say fear and the adrenaline that it causes is something that can cause people to even do things that are normally not possible to do. No, normally wouldn't have the strength, but because of the adrenaline of fear, they're able to go and act in a way that normally they wouldn't. We're not to be motivated by fear. We're not to be held in the bondage of fear. The Lord's motivating force is what? It's love. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's not fear or bondage of fear that holds me. But the enemy, folks, not even just in sin. But the enemy wants to come and try to bring fears to our mind, to our thoughts. And I'm sure we all know what I'm talking about, that we face these kind of places, that you have a pain somewhere. Yeah, so maybe it looks serious. You ever go nowadays online and try to diagnose your symptoms? If that's not a recipe to bring fear, I don't know what is. Just about any symptom that you have, if you go and start researching it, one of the possible outcomes is death. One of the possibilities of the way this is going to turn out, folks, we don't have to be held under the bondage of fear. We don't have to be held beneath that. The Lord said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There is a place in the Lord that I can come and cast my burdens and my cares, and whenever the enemy brings fears and thoughts to my mind that which would hinder me from being able to trust the Lord, that would hinder me from being able to keep my mind on Him in a way that brings perfect peace, as the Scripture says, that keeps us in our trials. Whenever the enemy would bring the doubts and the fears and the questions that would begin to hinder with that, you know, it is the Lord's will to give us victory over the spirit and bondage of fear, that we don't have to be terrified by anything. And I want us to remember this Scripture. It stuck out in my mind so much. In nothing, terrified by your adversaries. In nothing, what is this test that came? What's the Zechariah 3 or 4? It says, "Who art thou, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." What is this mountain that would rise up in my way? Do I have to fear it? Do I have to shrink back? The other song we sang said, when Satan tried his worst to do, whenever Satan threw the worst that he had at me, my Lord was by my side. I knew He heard and answered prayer and he brought me through. He will not fail me now. He's not going to stand back and watch me falter and fall and fail right here. The Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. So the enemy, the terrorist, the master and father of terror, 1 John 3:8 says that for this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might destroy the things that the devil has come to try to do. Those obstacles, those barriers that the enemy has tried to erect that would hinder me from going all the way with the Lord or from having the peace in my heart and mind that I need to have. That scripture there, and it talks about the Zerubbabel and the mountain, says not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Folks, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, the water is able to be like solid ground. If God be for us, the flames are not able to kindle upon us. If God be for us, the lions lose their appetite. If God be for us, the enemy that presses the way to the door like they did to Lot can be struck blind. Folks, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. We live in troublesome times. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. But folks, Jesus is coming soon. You've heard me quote different times the scripture in Luke. It says, when all these things begin to come to pass, men's hearts begin to fail them for fear, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It is not the time for us to succumb to fear, to be bowed down by fear of tomorrow or fear of today, of what's going on today, but for us to be able to serve the Lord in quietness and in confidence, in nothing, terrified by the enemy of our souls, by his devices and his tactics and techniques. Folks, it's easier said than done, as is everything that requires the grace of God. It will require the grace of God for us to have this level of peace in our souls whenever the enemy tries to employ his shock and awe tactics. Remember that? Operation Iraqi Freedom, the start of it, they had several days of what they called shock and awe. Unleash everything that we had. Unleash all the bombs and the firepower and the greatest demonstration that we could put on. At the very first, there's a reason for that. There's a tactic behind it to strike terror in the heart of the enemy. You know, there are stories of conquerors, of ruthless dictators that have gone around conquering nations and cities, and the story, I don't remember his name right now, one of them that would go and pile the heads of the enemy before the city. And he would go and pile the heads up, so you look out there and say, oh, look at that. And I look out before the first shots are even fired, before the enemy even comes and tries to go into the city, he wants, by how? By what? By fear. He wants us to say, you know what? I can't even fight this battle. I know that I'm not able. Look at that. Look at how many others that the enemy has already conquered. I know that I'm not going to be able to win this battle. The best thing to do is just go ahead and fly the flag. Go ahead and raise the white flag, because there's no way we're going to be able to stand up against that. Isn't that kind of what the king of Syria, I believe it was, came and told God's people? He said, if you hear that your Lord will deliver you, the Lord will deliver you, don't believe it. If you think that somehow you're going to be able to be delivered from my hand, then don't believe it. Don't believe that it's possible, because it's not. Because I've already gone and no other nation and city and people have been able to stand before me. And neither will you. Trying before the battle ever started. Because really the battle had begun. The battles that we face start here. Many times the battles that we face, the enemy already starts working on the mind, already starts working through thoughts that he presents to our mind before we even maybe recognize that I'm in the battle. The enemy's already trying to condition me. He's already trying to work through fear to condition my mind to do something that I otherwise wouldn't. You know, it's what, go on and on with examples, but it's what happened to Israel. Whenever the man named Goliath was standing down in a valley and they were standing back trembling with fear. Because of fear, they were held back and constrained that they could, of course they could win the victory. Of course they could win the battle. But fear stood in the way. Israel backing up years before that, whenever they came and sent out spies to the promised land, it was fear and unbelief that stood in the way. Whenever they heard the reports and it struck fear in their hearts, fear that came and rose up and it changed the way they looked at it. It changed the way they thought about it. So that now whenever they look, because the absence of fear, whenever the perspective of God was in the picture, they said they are nothing. They are nothing before us. But in the perspective of fear, they said we're just grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can win this. There's no way that we can overcome and take this nation and this country. You see the way the enemy works with fear? Do you think he's retired this weapon? Do you think he's come to a point that he said, well, that one worked so well, I'm going to put that back on the shelf now? Believe today still, the enemy wants through fear to hinder us. To cause us to draw back in whatever places, areas of my life that the Lord would bring me and say there's a victory that needs to be won here. There's something that needs to be taken here, or whenever the enemy comes up and wants me to just go ahead and throw the flag of surrender. May the Lord help us that we would in nothing be terrified by our adversary. You pray for me. Amen.